I study the Bible to know God and his truth and to find direction for my family life. The key Bible verse is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, again, good morning, everyone, and welcome those who are here at church and those who are watching in other places. As we've mentioned, we continue our learning event, our learning venture. It's called Believe. And the first set of topics we've been looking at is what we believe as followers of Jesus. We had some sessions about that. And now the second set of topics, what do we do as followers of Jesus? And again, just a reminder that the overall goal and purpose of this learning experience together is for us, is for you, bit by bit, to become more like Jesus, okay? So what do we do as followers of Jesus? Well, so far we've looked at what do is that we worship. We thank God. Thank you, God. We praise you, God. We love you, God. You are the one and only God. And there are all kinds of ways and places and styles to worship. And actually, worship is a bit of a lifestyle, right? And then last week we looked at what do is we pray. We pray anywhere, anytime, about everything and anything. It is speaking to God. It is listening to God. It is honest. It's sincere. It's real. It's communication and conversation with God. And so today's topic is God's Word. What do? We study God's Word. We study the Bible. Bible study. We get into God's Word. We get into the Bible. Well, the story goes about a man who has been in business for many, many years, and the business is going down the drain. It's going south. And he is seriously contemplating suicide, and he doesn't know what to do. It's really gone bad. So he goes to the rabbi to seek his advice. He tells the rabbi all about his problems in the business and asks the rabbi what he should do. So the rabbi says, take a beach chair and a Bible, put them in your car, drive down to the edge of the ocean, go to the water's edge, take the beach chair out of the car, sit on it, take the Bible out and open it up. The wind will riffle the pages for a while, and eventually the Bible will stay open at a particular page. Read the first words your eyes fall on, and they'll tell you what to do. Well, the man does as he's told. He places a beach chair and a Bible in his car. He drives down to the beach. He sits on the chair at the water's edge, opens the Bible. The wind riffles the pages of the Bible and then stops at a particular page. He looks down at the Bible and his eyes fall on words which tell him what he has to do. 3 months later, the man and his family come back to see the rabbi. The man is wearing a $1,000 Italian suit. His wife is all decked out with a full-length mink coat, and the child is dressed in beautiful silk. The man hands the rabbi a thick envelope full of money and tells him that he wants to donate this money to the synagogue in order to thank the rabbi for his wonderful advice. Well, the rabbi is delighted. He recognizes the man and asks him, what words in the Bible brought this good fortune to him? And the man says, chapter 11. See, studying the Bible pays off. But you have to be careful reading the Bible in a random kind of way like that. Maybe you remember this one. A guy was told to open the Bible, point, and read, and that's how God speaks to you. So he tried this method. He opened the Bible, he pointed and read. The first time it said, he went out and hung himself. He goes, well, that's no good. So he tried it again next time. He opened the Bible, he pointed, he read, and it said, go and do likewise. So he tried this method one more time, and he said, opened the Bible, pointed, and read. It said, don't just listen to God's word, do what it says. Not a good method for Bible study. As for me, I opened the Bible and pointed and read. It was Acts 26:24, and it said, suddenly Festus shouted, Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy. Well, actually, there was a time in my life when I wasn't very good at studying. In high school, grades came easy. I had a 3.6 or something like that, GPA, and I didn't study much. Then came college at UMD, and I was pre-engineering. So you're talking physics and calculus and chemistry, and I would go to class and I would get it, I'd understand it, but I didn't study. I didn't practice. I didn't do the reps of what I had to show for it was 2 D's, an F, and a pass. That translates to a 0.6 GPA. Anyway, but I had a good time. And I learned how to study. And I learned how not to study. Once, now key word is once, I decided to pull an all-nighter. That means study all night long before the test the next day. So I got my cans of caffeine, I went to the study room with my books, and studied and stayed awake all night long. The next morning it came time for the exam, and guess what? I was a vegetable. I could barely read, I could barely think and respond. I tried hard to stay awake, to keep my head up and my eyes open. I don't remember if I passed the test. That was my first and last time of all-night study binging. Today our topic is Bible study. Now the key word is study. Now, any kind of reading the Bible is good and helpful. Whether it's casual or leisure or occasional, anytime you're in God's Word, that's good. At the same time, God encourages us to be in God's Word and study God's Word, be diligent and think about God's Word, be mindful of God's Word, all the time. Ruminate on God's word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says about God's word, continually meditate, think about God's word, continually, nighttime, daytime, all the time. And when you do, God will prosper you. And that's God's promise. You will prosper. Not financially so much, but in well-being and wholeness and completeness. God will prosper you as you meditate on God's word. So the question is, why is studying God's word so important? Why is studying and meditating and ruminating and thinking all the time about God's word so important? Well, the Bible, God's word, tells us why. Isaiah 48. God's word stands forever. Luke 1:37, God's word will never fail. Proverbs 35, God's word, every word proves to be true. It's truth. Revelation 19:13, God's word is victorious. Isaiah 55, God's word accomplishes what God sets it out to do, and that is to give you life now and forever. Hebrews 4:12, God's word is alive. It is powerful. 1 John 2:14, God's word lives in your heart. Matthew 4:4, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Ephesians 6:17, God's word is your defense against the enemy. And with that same verse, God's word is your offensive weapon to defeat the enemy. 1 John 2:5, studying and obeying God's word is one way that you show that you love God. That's why we not only read and hear and listen to God's word, that's why we study it and think about it and chew on it and obey it 24/7. Let me repeat these things. It stands forever. It will never fail. Every word proves true. It's victorious. It accomplishes what God sets out for it to do. It is alive and powerful. It lives in your heart. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's your defense against the enemy. It's your offensive weapon to defeat the enemy. And studying and obeying God's word is one way that you show that you love God. Amen? A woman named Sharon Vaught writes this pertaining to this whole matter, and I think it's some good food for thought. She writes, I read in an article this week that said, the average smartphone user touches their phone 2,617 times every day. That number is disturbing, she writes. If it's correct, I touch my cell phone more often than I clean up around the house or exercise at the gym or hug my son. I spend more time on my phone than in God's word, and all of that combined. Today, as I read Psalm 119, she writes, I noticed that much of the chapter talks about knowing and living by God's word and delighting in his commands. And all I can think about is the time I have wasted. God's word needs to trump my phone and my slowness to get up and get into the scripture. So she prays, so God, today I choose to leave my phone in the other room. Today I choose to have my Bible out. Today I choose to delight over your word and obey your word. Today I choose you, Lord, over convenience and entertainment. Then she goes on to say, Psalm 119:37 reads, God, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. So maybe you have a problem with too much technology in your life, or you need to power down in some other area of your life. Do you need God's help to turn from poor eating habits, an addiction, spending money unwisely, binge-watching movies and TV shows, or seeking out unhealthy relationships? If you want a good place to start, she writes, changing these habits, read Psalm 119, which talks about knowing and living out God's word. Write down why it's important to know his commands and his word as you go through Psalm 19. It's right in the middle of the Bible. And she writes, now I want to be clear that I think smartphones can be a great tool and a resource. My concern is our need to always have our phone on us and feeling lost without it. Instead, we need to focus our minds on God's word and to feel complete, that is, whole and well and prosperous, we must spend time in his presence and in his word. So today I choose to power down my phone and open my Bible. I want my son to know that his mama obeys God's word and has his word written in her heart. And I pray that when he gets older, he can say, he saw me paying more attention to the Bible and to him than my phone. Now that would be a legacy to leave my child. Thank you, Sharon Vaught, for those words. In Psalm 119, as she mentions, we find the words that we sang earlier in our service, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, a lamp, a light, it's a living light. And that's good to know because there are times when we live in a very dark world, don't we? And that darkness can come upon us in a flash and in a moment. The loss of a loved one, unexpected change in health or sickness, employment, relationship, finances, accident, slip, fall. And it can happen so suddenly, so abruptly, so unexpectedly. We never saw it coming. Kind of like this, think about this. Have you ever been at home at night when the power goes out? I remember that as a kid and as an adult too. The power goes out and you never see it coming usually. And the house that was so comfortable and familiar and friendly, easy to get around, in a moment, instantly becomes kind of scary. What was familiar now becomes disorienting and confusing and challenging and difficult. It's the same house, but very different circumstances. Where are those things that we know are there? Where are the others? How do we make our way into this darkness? And what's the first thing you do? You look for a light, right? A flashlight, a candle, any kind of light. And once that candle is lit, notice it changes the appearance of everything. Things become familiar again. There's enough light so you can get your bearings again. You can make your way. And you notice others. Others begin to gather around the light. And you discover you're not alone. You're part of a gathering of others gathered around the light. Now, there are times in life when life is like a power outage, and I know you know that. Didn't see it coming. It's unexpected. The world we live in changes suddenly. What was familiar is now disorienting, it's confusing, it's dark, even scary, and it becomes difficult to find your way. Where are others? Am I alone in this darkness? So we scramble to find a light, and we notice that there is a light that's already lit right there in our midst. And it's just a flicker. It's the light of Christ, the light of God's living word. Jesus, the light of the world, a light that darkness will not overcome. And as we gather around the light of Christ, the light of God's word, even if a flicker, it's enough. We begin to get our bearings again. Fears begin to slip away. And we are not alone. We realize that in the light, you notice the faces of others and who also need the light of Christ, the light of God's word, to make their way. And we discover and realize that we're in this together. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Friends, this is why we study the Bible. This is why we gather here in this place, around the light of Christ in the middle of us, around the light of God's word in the middle of us. a light that brings help and brings hope, it brings healing to you and for you. Why? Because God loves you and wants you to live and to bask in the light of God's love and grace and mercy that is found right here. In God's written word, we call it what? The Bible. And what do? We study it. We call it Bible study. Amen?